The U.S. war with Iran has begun. Here we are in week one. You're listening to In the Moment from SDPB. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. On Monday, President Donald Trump told reporters that prior to joint U.S.-Israeli airstrikes, the regime in Iran was close to developing missiles capable of reaching America. As far as how the mission would be conducted, here's U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth.
All on our terms, with maximum authorities. No stupid rules of engagement, no nation-building quagmire, no democracy-building exercise, no politically correct wars. We fight to win, and we don't waste time or lives.
Now, Timothy Shorn is a professor of political science at the University of South Dakota. I talked with him about the lead-up to the attacks and the first days of a new war in the Middle East.
We kept hearing about diplomatic overtures, about an attempt to get together with Iranian representatives. And I think that didn't just lull me into a false sense of security. I think it had the same effect on, including probably the Iranians. And so I was surprised. I was hoping maybe we were going to find a way to get to an agreement that satisfied the administration, but apparently not.
So the agreement was, what was the problem? What were the discussions about?
Well, and that's a good question, because I'm not sure anyone was ever completely clear about that. We were concerned, at least supposedly, about an Iranian nuclear weapon program. We were concerned about the treatment of Iranians by the government during this latest round of protests, why this occurred and which negotiations failed will depend on who you talk to in the administration. War Secretary Hegseth said Iran started this. Well, Iran didn't start this. President Trump commented about the concern of an Iranian ballistic missile hitting us. They don't have that capability. He had said earlier that essentially all parts of the Iranian nuclear weapons program had been destroyed. And that was probably not the case, but is probably still not a concern. So my concern is that, one, the administration isn't completely clear about why they've done anything, and it varies from member to member. And two, President Trump simply doesn't have a grasp on what's going on either in Iran or within his own administration. And so I think this is, you know, this should be a concern in that if we don't know what our goal is, don't know when we've achieved it and when we can end the conflict. And today, President Trump said that this could go on for another 4 or 5 weeks. Well, the question becomes then, what are we going to be attacking for 4 or 5 weeks? Right. So really, I have more questions than answers at this point, but I think everyone should have more questions than answers.
I want to go back to that goal in a moment. But first, this idea of war. President Trump used the word war, and the Associated Press sent out a notification today saying they're going to use the word war, and here's why, outlined the reason that's the right language to use. Mm-hmm. But of course, people sort of famously know in America that the president cannot, quote unquote, declare war. Help us understand what's happening here in Washington. Is he pushing and saying, like, no, I have this power and I'm willing to use it? Or do you anticipate there will be pushback to the scale of what he did over the weekend, especially when we haven't seen an imminent threat?
Right. I mean, we go back to the days of the Vietnam War and the War Powers Act and an attempt by Congress to try to limit the ability of a president to act unilaterally when it comes to using force. We also know that for the last 50 years, we have essentially ignored the War Powers Act because it has never really been challenged. Nobody has ever invoked it in a meaningful way. And so essentially, until Congress gets concerned about how an American president is using military forces in a particular case, nothing is going to prevent an American president from using those forces. And so this is what we have here. Unsurprisingly, we have a bit of divide along party lines. That's usually the case where the president's party supports him, and the opposition party has more questions. That's not always the case, but that's certainly the case usually, and that is the case here. So it is unlikely that Congress is going to do anything to rein in the president's hand here. Now, also, at least according to the law, the president should consult with Congress in some way. Well, as far as we can tell, that did not occur. It would seem that the party leadership in both the House and the Senate of President Trump's party, the Republican Party, aren't particularly concerned by that. But were the president a Democrat, they certainly would be. So we also see partisan politics playing out when it comes to the president using force.
So back to the goal. Pete Hegseth, Secretary Hegseth, said to get rid of Iran's ballistic missiles, to destroy their navy, and to make sure they cannot develop a nuclear weapon. Is that clear enough?
Well, that is, but then the question becomes why? Every country has the inherent right to defend itself. And that right belongs to Iran just as much as it belongs to the United States. And so the question is, why is the United States so concerned about it really isn't threatening much in the Persian slash Arabian Gulf? I mean, of course, now there are concerns because they feel the need to respond to the attacks on them. We have been talking about their ballistic missile capabilities since the first Persian Gulf War, and they have yet to acquire the ability to deliver weapons to the United States via ballistic missiles. So I'm not really sure why we are that concerned about their ballistic missile capabilities. They have had a nuclear program, and the previous agreement that Iran had with the United States and other countries was preventing it from acquiring even the ability to create a weapon. So this really strikes me as a desire by an administration to show how tough it is, to carry water for really an ally, in this case, Prime Minister Netanyahu. And there was really no valid reason for the Americans to attack Iran because it had no capabilities of threatening our security.
Secretary Hegseth also said in this war there will be no sort of restrictions on the rules of engagement, or he maybe even said no stupid rules of engagement, or I'm going to go with no unnecessary rules of engagement.
Right.
What does that mean in the context of what we know about Hegseth and what we know about the strategic realities on the ground in Iran?
Kind of the first answer to that is nobody knows what that means except Pete Hegseth. The second answer to the question is it would seem that he does not feel compelled to follow the laws of war, which is disappointing because no country has had more, a bigger role to play in creating the laws of war than the United States, dating back to the Civil War, and so for over 160 years. And if the United States decides that we are not going to be limited by restrictive rules of engagement, The question has to be asked, what does that mean? And are we going to show any concern whatsoever for the people of Iran? And again, all of this seems unclear, not only in the minds of most Americans and people worldwide, but in the mind of President Trump, in the mind of Secretary Hegseth. And I'm sure there are questions within the top military leadership, the uniformed military leadership as well. They have all been schooled in the laws of war, and they don't want to be the people hung out to dry for violating the laws of war. And so Secretary Hegseth oftentimes kind of leads with his mouth and raises questions about what America's goals are, how we plan to achieve them, and if there are any limitations on what we're going to do.
Yeah, the warrior culture in this context means something different than what I hear him saying about the warrior culture during physical training for troops, at a base during peacetime. And there are a lot of question marks about what he's willing to do.
Right, and that should be of grave concern to all Americans, because it is, it's the sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers of American citizens who are in the American Armed Forces, and we've always held ourselves up to a higher standard, which means, we are not the ones who are going to be committing war crimes. Now, we know that there have been cases where we have committed war crimes, but the fact that we can point to cases means that, the incidence of war crimes over the last 50 years are fairly limited. And I don't think we want to, throw out our values, throw out our humanity to engage in a conflict in the way that Secretary Hegseth wants us to, or to achieve goals that are to certainly reflect poorly on America in the future and raise questions in the minds of future generations. So I think Americans need to really pay attention to what's happening here and to determine whether or not they can truly support Secretary Hegseth seems to have in mind.
And you and I have talked about this before, but we always bring it back to the civilians, the non-combatants, the people who are on the ground, in the school, in the hospital, trying to get food, the disruption in people's lives with the extent of this kind of action and ongoing action for 4 to 5 weeks, perhaps longer, is almost immeasurable.
Hezbollah and Iranian missiles are notoriously arbitrary in who they hit. There's a much greater likelihood that those missiles are going to kill civilians than military forces. The Israelis have demonstrated over the last 2 years that they do not feel constrained by a concern for non-combatants. So when we add those two kind of forces into the mix, we can expect civilians to pay an improportionate cost in the upcoming conflict. We then add Secretary Hegseth's comments, and we have to be concerned then, what limitations are the American forces entering the conflict with? How discriminating are we going to be between military and civilian targets? So we, as members of the human race, are going to be entering a period of a great unknown about what kind of cost this is entailing for the people of the region.
That's Dr. Tim Shorn, professor of political science at the University of South Dakota. He's an expert in international relations. That's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.